Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 128 and 134, a song of ascent. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor, blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. A song of ascent. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
Well, good morning once again. This time I would like to introduce our guest speaker for today, Pastor Daniel. Pastor Daniel, he's currently serving at New Life Alliance Church in North Vancouver. That's where he grew up. He's a great and gifted brother in the Lord in many ways. His preaching, his teaching, and his relational skills in his church and for his community, it's been amazing for me personally to witness amazing things that God has been doing through Pastor Daniel. And I think it's safe for me to say that because I if you didn't know, I've known him for quite a few years because we met each other at the Bible college that we attended together. And so he's also, if I can share this, he was also one of my classmates for hermeneutics class, where we both learn how to preach, prepare sermon, things like that. And so we grew together as future preachers, and here we are, standing before you to share the word. But we had the opportunities to preach the class. And so I've actually heard Pastor Daniel preach to the class a few times, and he also has heard me preach as well. And so I'm just excited, not just because he's here today with us, but I just fully believe that God will speak to us through him this morning. And so without further ado, I just want to invite all of us to really open our hearts and minds to receive the words that Pastor Daniel has been led to share with us today. And so this time I'm just going to kindly ask Pastor Daniel to come up and share God's word. And if we could just give him a round of applause as he comes up, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Okay.
Can you guys hear me okay? Okay. I've never used one of these things. It's pretty neat. Usually I have a mic in front of me, but it's nice to be able to move my hands. But thank you, Ansik. We kind of took everything I was about to say, but as Ansik mentioned, my name is Daniel, and I currently serve at New Life Alliance Church in North Van, where I was born and raised. And first and foremost, I just want to say what an honor and privilege it is to be speaking before you today. And second of all, thank you, Ansik, for inviting me to speak here. As many of you probably have noticed something about Ansik, and ever since I first met him, what I really love and appreciate about him is just this, the way he carries himself with such gentleness. Gentleness that's almost resemblant of, it's a reflection of the characteristics of Jesus, who is gentle and lowly in spirit. And so, Ansik, I just want to say how proud I am of you, of what you're doing at this church. I know you're blushing here. No one can see it. Don't worry. But I'm also want to say how encouraged I am of everyone here who come here every Sunday, day in, day out, to partner with Jesus in his ministry, to being a light to one another, and also in the city of Vancouver and in the world. So, yeah, I heard you guys were going through a series on the names of God and kind of the characteristics of God. And as I was preparing for the sermon today, one of the characteristics that God had been revealing to me and showing me continuously in my life is that he is a father who gives good gifts. He's a father who gives good gifts and he blesses abundantly. And that's what we saw as my friend here read in Psalms 128 and 134. And so just to give a little context, I know we've either heard the book of Psalms or we've read it, but the Psalms fall under the category of wisdom literature. And the passage that I'm going to be speaking on, Psalms 128 and 134, is found in the fifth book of the Psalms, which is also known as the Songs of Ascent. The Songs of Ascent. And these Songs of Ascent celebrate God's role in delivering Israel from captivity and returning them as a community back to their land. It's a story of survival in a changed and changing world that these post-exilic Israelites were facing at the time. And these songs were sung by Israelite pilgrims who were making their way back to Jerusalem to come together as a community to celebrate and commemorate the goodness and help of God. So speaking of the goodness of God, are there any of you here who like to travel? Maybe just put like a little hand up for me. Yeah, I know I'm a new guy here, so it's kind of weird. But so, okay, why don't we do this? If there are a few of you here who could just shout out some of your favorite countries that you've been able to visit. Korea? Okay, that's obvious. Korea? How about one more? One more. Japan. I love Japan. Japan was great. Okay, one more. Just give me one more. Someone just shout out anywhere you loved. Turkey? Okay, Turkey. Never been there, but I've seen the hot air balloons. It looks gorgeous over there. So that's great. And I'm glad to know that there are some like-minded individuals here who like to travel just as much as I do. From my experience, one of my favorite places I ever got to visit was Hawaii. And I know everyone says Hawaii, it's kind of that cliche travel destination, but really Hawaii was one of my favorite travel destinations. And before I go on, I just want to acknowledge the current natural disasters going on, not only in Hawaii, but as a friend mentioned, in Okanagan in California, and even in Yellowknife. And yeah, if you're feeling personally affected by these events or your heart is breaking as mine is, yeah, I pray that we would just continue to pray for our friends there, just for God's guidance. But did you know that the word Hawaii actually means homeland? Homeland. And so in a sense, maybe the reason why I loved going to Hawaii so much was because the memories I have there kind of feel like home. Or maybe they feel like home because a lot of the people there kind of have the same skin tone as me and we kind of look similar, so it feels like I'm one of them. But if you've never been to Hawaii, it is just absolutely stunning. Just picture this: clear blue skies, crystal clear water, soft sand underneath your feet, lush green forest. I could go on and on and on. But during my trip there, there were a few key moments that really stood out to me, that brought me the most joy. For example, I love to hike, and I got to go on some of the most amazing hikes that led us to some of the most incredible waterfalls I've ever seen in my life. I got to watch a baby dolphin with his mother dancing underneath my feet in the middle of the ocean, only to watch the dolphin break the water a few feet in front of me. I got to bike on a volcanic rock field towards a lava flow spewing into the ocean in the dead of night with only the lava glowing into the ocean and the stars above to guide our way. I got to drive on the windiest roads only to be stopped by hundreds of ram crossing the road. It was like a picture out of National Geographic. But on our last day, my friends and I, we decided to pitch our hammocks at this beach known for its black sand. And so, as you can see, that's our hammocks in the black sand. And this is the beach. And as we're sitting there, just taking in this view, and we're just reminiscing of the time that we just spent in Hawaii, I thought to myself, and I realized that out of everything that I got to see and experience in Hawaii, it was the time that I got to spend connecting with my friends that mattered the most to me, that brought me the most joy during this time. And like taking a deep breath in and letting a big sigh of relief out, full contentment, that is the feeling of being blessed. And that is what we're going to be looking at today in Psalms 128 and 134, which gives us a better picture of what it means to be blessed by God. So I'm going to read it for you again. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. In Psalms 134, come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. So as we have read through these two passages, we see that God blesses us and we bless God. God blesses us and we bless God. Which brings me to my first point, blessed obedience. Blessed obedience. So as I briefly mentioned earlier, these songs of ascent were sung out by Israelites who were returning back to Jerusalem to celebrate God's faithfulness during the exile of the Babylonians. And the word here for blessed found in this verse is, it comes from the Hebrew word ashar, ashar, which literally means a state of happiness or blessedness. So in other words, you could say, happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. But the words for fear and happiness seem like an odd combination of words to put together, right? And we often hear this phrase, fear of the Lord, but what does that really mean? Does it mean to be terrified of him? To be shaking whenever we come before him and talk to him, as if he were some form of dictator? By no means. See, the fear of the Lord literally means to stand in awe of him. To stand in awe of him. In Psalms 33, verse 8, it says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Fear the Lord is to stand in awe of his majesty, of his power, his wisdom, his justice and mercy, especially in Jesus, in his life, his death, and his resurrection. To have an exalted view of God, to see God in all his glory, and then to respond to him appropriately. To humble ourselves before him, to adore him. Happy is the one who is in awe of the Lord and walks in his ways. You see, to the Israelite of this time, it is a reminder to be happy for the awe-inspiring acts God has done to rescue them from danger and to provide for them in their time of need. It calls them to live a life in light of his goodness and walk in his ways in order to live a life grounded in God's faithfulness. The blessed life is a life that is lived in awe of God. You see, to be blessed by God in the Old Testament was to be granted special favor by God with resulting joy and prosperity. But whereas the Old Testament state of blessedness was more related to material prosperity, the New Testament understanding of being blessed emphasizes a spiritual one. And God's promise to Abraham serves as a foundation for blessing. In Genesis 12:3, God says to Abraham that all people on earth shall be blessed. And this blessing is fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. One of the most recognizable references to blessing can be found in the Beatitudes of Jesus. In Matthew 5:3-11, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." You see, Jesus is declaring that despite the difficulties we face at the present time, the promises of God's salvation and coming kingdom brings a state of happiness and recognized favor of God. Like the Israelites who yearned for God's blessing to be able to overcome their horrors of being conquered by Babylon and just simply needing him to provide for their every need, we too have God's access to God's favor and blessings in our lives here on earth now through Jesus. That Jesus is our sufficiency in all circumstances. As Jesus says in John 10:10, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The fullness of life that we seek can only be found through our obedience. The full life, the blessed life, is one that walks the hard road of obedience. In the words of Jesus, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Obedience is blessedness. And not only is obedience blessedness, but we are blessed beyond measure. We are blessed beyond measure. So to the Israelites, fertility and material and physical strength is promised as an incentive to obey. And these are sweet words for any primitive society that is struggling for survival, close to starvation and victim of barrenness and hardship. And the grapevines and olive trees found in this passage were a staple of farm production in ancient Palestine. And the words in verse 3 promise a bountiful harvest for the one who has reverence for the Lord. Blessing is seen as a life of abundance from the generous hand of God. In verse 2, we see the psalmist say that you will be blessed by the labor of your hands, that you will be blessed and it will be well with you. But without reverence for the Lord, we can often get this mixed up. We want to achieve the blessed life out of our own strength and not out of our fear of the Lord. And the world tries to convince us of this all the time, that you should work tirelessly to get that nice house, so you can have that nice car, so you can get that great promotion, the nicest clothes and the nicest gadgets. And yet we are always left wanting more. Now let me make this clear. God does bless us with material things. God knows the desires of our heart, but he will act accordingly to his will and purpose. But if our motive is simply to achieve happiness through such things, we will never truly be blessed, never truly happy, never truly satisfied, never truly content. Are there any of you who have seen this movie, The Pursuit of Happiness? Yeah? Pretty good, right? Well, Will Smith, before all of his drama, plays a character who is hit hard by life. His career endeavors have failed, leading to a separation with him and his wife, and ultimately leaves him and his little boy homeless, struggling just to make ends meet. And throughout the movie, we see Will Smith trying tirelessly to find a job that can just support him and his son. And by the end of the movie, after all the struggle he has just endured, finally Will Smith gets that job that's able, and he's able to provide for him and his son. We kind of rejoice with him as we watch this movie. It really is a powerful movie. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's a movie about struggle, shedding light on a reality that many people, perhaps even some of you here today, have experienced or are experiencing now. But what the movie fails to portray is that happiness, or the state of being blessed, is possible in all circumstances. You see, in the movie, Will Smith has only reached the pursuit of happiness when he lands a job. But what makes a Christian life so beautiful and so countercultural is that even within the struggles of life, within the practicalities of life, it is possible for us to be blessed despite our circumstances, because God has shown his love and care for us through his son, Jesus. In any circumstance, we can be blessed, whether it be in material abundance or lack. Jesus points us to a new reality, a present and future reality of blessedness. That Jesus is our constant variable of sufficiency in all circumstances. Jesus is our constant variable of sufficiency in all circumstances. And Jesus himself recognized our need for practical daily needs, but reminds us not to worry, for we have a heavenly Father who really does care for us. In Matthew 6, verse 26, he says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So do not worry, saying what we shall eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And Jesus is not disregarding our practical needs. And this psalm reminds us that God does provide abundantly. But what Jesus and the psalter are trying to relate to us is that we can rest assured that God is taking care of us, that we can be blessed in all circumstances, thanking God and trusting that he really does provide. Moving on to the last portion of this passage. In verses 5-6, he says, "The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace upon Israel." Now, during this time, the welfare of Jerusalem as a whole was very important to the pilgrim. Israelite pilgrims would make their way back to Jerusalem to celebrate and receive God's blessing, but only if the holy city, which is Jerusalem, survived and prospered, could they continue to experience such blessing. And so there was an essential bond between one's personal life and the religious community. And this is a really reality for us today, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to care for one another. Our blessedness leads us to bless others. In John 15, verse 9 to 12, it says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." The blessed life is not merely an individual one, but one that is shared with others. And each of our heartfelt endeavors in life that can be compared to spouses and children, or in other words, the things that we invest our whole lives in at all costs. And Psalm 128 promises that such endeavors, if they are undertaken with a firm reverence of the Lord, a firm fear of the Lord, will be blessed. And in due season will be contribute to the well-being of the whole body of believers. We are blessed beyond measure. Which leads me to the last point. We are blessed to bless the Lord. That should say Psalm 134. I apologize. We are blessed to bless the Lord. So this psalm would have been read as a blessing to the pilgrims who were getting ready to depart from Jerusalem back to their hometowns in the residing countryside. And the word for bless or blessing here is different from the word blessed in the previous Psalm 128. See, the word bless here in Hebrew means barak, which means to kneel, or a sign of praise, acceptance, compliance, or submission. To bless the Lord is to kneel before the Lord, to worship the Lord. And the pilgrims during this time would stand in the temple courts, ready to raise their hands towards the temple, which was known as the early dwelling place of God. And they would praise with their hands and voices, acknowledging the power of God and their dependence upon and their commitment to him. And so every time we gather here in this place as a church and sing songs of praise and worship is us blessing the Lord. Every time we choose to live righteously, to live a life of reverence to God, is a blessing to God. But in order for us to bless God, or to bless at all for that matter, we must first be blessed by him ourselves. We need to receive God's blessing in order to bless God and others. We are already blessed. We have more than enough. But maybe there are some of you here who are thinking to yourselves, "Daniel, are you sure? Are you sure that I am blessed? Because it sure doesn't feel like it, and it sure doesn't seem like it. My bank account doesn't tell me I'm blessed. My overdue bills, my debt don't tell me I'm blessed. My health doesn't tell me I'm blessed. My relationships don't tell me I'm blessed. All the difficult and painful situations that I am experiencing in my life right now do not tell me I am blessed." And let's lean into those questions. And I want to answer them by saying, you are already blessed. You have more than enough in Jesus. Because blessing isn't a reward or something you earn, but it is out of the overflow of who God is. He paid for it. It cost him everything, even his son, to give you new life. God is the initiator of blessing. And we see this throughout the Bible of God's initiative to bless. You see, the first blessing ever recorded was God blessing Adam in the garden. In Genesis 1, verse 27 to 28, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. As soon as God created man, before they could do anything for him, he blessed them. And I am convinced that there is something about our Imago Dei, us being image bearers of God, that needs to be blessed in order to live out our images of God. We were made for this, to bless God and receive his blessing. You can't have one without the other. And God's initiative to bless us doesn't stop there. Jesus' life reminds us of God's initiative to bless us. Jesus came down not because of what we could do, but because God knew that we were in need of a Savior. It is in him that we are given life and life to the fullest. It is in him where we find forgiveness. In him where we are made right with God. In him that we have hope in all circumstances. See, Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And even when Jesus was put to death on that cross for our sins and ascended to heaven, God took the initiative to bless us with his Holy Spirit, to help us and fill us with God's peace and joy. And it is out of this overflow of the Holy Spirit where we can't help but to overflow with praise and worship, to overflow with blessing God, blessing others, and receiving his blessing. We need to receive God's blessing in order to bless God and others. So what have you gone through today? Number one, blessed obedience. The obedient life is true happiness. It's okay. Here, we'll go fast forward. But yeah, blessed obedience. Number two, we are blessed beyond measure. We have more than enough. And number three, we are blessed so that we can bless the Lord. So where do we go from here? In light of all we have just worked through, I feel that God is inviting us. An invitation to open up our hands because we can fully worship him when we are not clinging on to things. It is with open hands where we can receive his blessing. And with open hands, we can worship, blessing the Lord and blessing others. We can often cling on to material blessings. But I think that the invitation that God has for us is that it's okay to let go and surrender. It's okay to let go and surrender what we do or do not have in order that we may receive more of him. So can I just invite everyone here just to close your eyes And if you're able and willing to open up your hands in a posture of receiving from God, and worship team, I'm going to call you up, actually. And I just sense that God is inviting us all just to be open, or just to receive from him. And as we let go and surrender some of the things that we have been clinging on to, God also wants us to receive more of him. So we thank you, Lord, for all that we have. And we give it to you, God, because you are worthy. Thank you that you are a God who freely blesses, who blesses abundantly, that you desire to bless your children. And as a result, we desire to bless you, God. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. I just want to read this over you guys here today. In the fellowship of God the Father. And as you go, remember, in the goodness of God, you were born into this world. By the grace of God, you have been kept all the day long, even until this hour. And by the love of God, fully revealed in the face of Jesus, you are being redeemed. Amen.